Okay, we're recording now, y'all. Just let y'all know. One more clown. Okay, hello everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we're going to continue our study of paper 168, The Resurrection of Lazarus, and this is part two. So this is on page 1844.6. In the original book, or 168, section 1, paragraph 7, in the rest of them. All right, so we're going to have a small group tonight, probably because Rodney is traveling. He didn't think he was going to get back in time, so he's not going to make it tonight.
Okay.
Here's Gary. Here
I am
goes.
too going to make it tonight.
You're going to
Proof
make it tonight.
positive.
All right, good.
So,
All
Rodney.
right. Rodney's not probably not going to get back in time. He's on the way back from Columbus. So, all right.
Columbus.
Did the divine mind of Jesus know even before Lazarus died that he would raise him from the dead? We do not know. This is the Midwayer speaking, right? We know only what we are herewith placed on record. Okay, and then we're going to go on from that. So they didn't know for sure exactly how all this took place. Right. All right. Well, I'm getting all sorts of weird things going on here in this other computer, which is not that unusual for me. Okay. Diane, would you take the next one?
Okay. Many of Jesus' enemies were inclined to sneer at his manifestations of affection, and they said among themselves, "If he thought so much of this man, why did he tarry so long before coming to Bethany? If he is what they claim, why did he not save his dear friend? What is the good of healing strangers in Galilee if he cannot save those whom he loves?" And in many other ways, they mocked and made light of the teachings and works of Jesus.
Okay, so he already the answer is he already knew he was going to raise him from the dead, right? So that's why he
It's
made,
Jesus, you know.
yeah, it's Jesus. That's right. All right, this is my wife's cat stole. You see it? Here you go. Cat stole.
He's keeping you.
All right, Pam, would you take the next one?
And so on this Thursday afternoon, at about 2:30 was the stage all set in this little hamlet of Bethany for the enactment of the greatest of all works connected with the earth ministry of Michael of Nebadon, the greatest manifestation of divine power during his incarnation in the flesh, since his own resurrection occurred after he had been liberated from the bonds of mortal habitation.
Notice it says here, after he was resurrected, after he had been liberated from the bonds of mortal habitation. In other words, after he died, he rose himself from the dead. So this is the only other time that any being has ever risen themselves from the dead. So, all right. Letch, would you take the next one, please?
The small group assembled before Lazarus's tomb little realized the presence near at hand of a vast concourse of all orders of celestial beings assembled under the leadership of Gabriel, land, and now in waiting. By direction of the personalized adjuster of Jesus, vibrating with expectancy, and ready to execute the bidding of their beloved sovereign.
Okay, so this was not just him by himself. He had a whole crew of celestial beings there to make this become possible, right? So when someone is risen from the dead, well, when someone wakes up from the dead on the mansion worlds, they have a specific program that they go through to insert you back into your new Marantia body, right? So this is done all the time, every day, all day long. So when they do it on the mansion worlds, they already have everything there, what they need. But being that they were going to reinsert Lazarus back into his mortal body, that's why it took this vast concourse of celestial beings. Okay, because this had not been done on Earth before. Okay, so they needed all these other people, probably mechanical, physical controllers and lots of other things to actually reanimate his body. You can think of it as kind of like an emergency room. Once they put him back into his body, somebody had to put the spark of life back in. So it's kind of like an emergency room where they get the paddles and restart you, right? But you're restarted as a celestial, I mean, as a human, from the celestial beings, all right, from the energy they have, all right. So they were all waiting around in anticipation of this, okay? Gary, would you take the next one?
When Jesus spoke those words of command, take away the stone, the assembled celestial hosts made ready to enact the drama of the resurrection of Lazarus in the likeness of his mortal flesh. Such a form of resurrection involves difficulties of executions which far transcend the usual techniques of the resurrection of mortal creatures in Marantia form and requires far more celestial personalities and a far greater organization of universe facilities.
So they needed a lot more people, didn't they? A lot more beings to reanimate him. So Jesus said, take away the stone. He was ready to bring him back to life. All right.
I wonder if what would have happened if Lazarus would have come out of the grave and says, I want to go back.
That wouldn't surprise me. Right? Of course, he had no consciousness, did he? When he died, you know, it's not like these people that say they come back from the dead, because he had no consciousness of in his mind during this period of time. So, all right. When Martha and Mary heard this command of Jesus directing that the stone in front of the tomb be rolled away, they were filled with conflicting emotions. Mary hoped that Lazarus was to be raised from the dead, but Martha, while to some extent sharing her sister's faith, was more exercised by the fear that Lazarus would not be presentable in his appearance to Jesus, the apostles, and other friends. Said Martha, must we roll the stone? My brother has now been dead 4 days. By that time, decay of the body has begun. Martha also said this because she was not certain as to why the master had requested that the stone be removed. She thought maybe Jesus wanted only to take one last look at Lazarus. She was not settled and constant in her attitude. As they hesitated to roll the stone away, Jesus said, did I not tell you at the first that this sickness was not to death? Have I not come to fulfill my promise? And after I came to you, did I not say that if you would only believe, you would see the glory of God? Wherefore do you doubt? How long before you will believe and obey? All right, so he expected them to accept what he was about to do, right? All right, Diane.
When Jesus had finished speaking, his apostles, with the assistance of willing neighbors, laid hold upon the stone and rolled away from the entrance to the tomb.
So this time the neighbors rolled the stone away. Who rolled the stone away at Jesus' resurrection? Do y'all remember? The midwayers, right? The midwayers actually started to roll the stone away, and the guards were so scared they all ran off at the same time just because of the stone rolling away, because they couldn't see the midwayers, they could only see the stone move. Right? Yeah, it would be a little spooky, wouldn't it? All right, Pam, would you take the next one?
It was the common belief of the Jews that the drop of gall on the point of the sword of the angel of death began to work by the end of the third day, so that it was taking full effect on the fourth day. They allowed that the soul of man might linger about the tomb until the end of the third day, seeking to reanimate the dead body. But they firmly believed that such a soul had gone on to the abode of departed spirits ere the fourth day had dawned.
Okay, so they believed that the soul hung around for the first 3 days. Now we know that's not the case, don't we? We
Right.
know as soon as someone dies, immediately the guardian seraphim takes the soul away and the thought adjuster departs, right? Now, this was an exception with
Lazarus.
Lazarus, right? Let's we take the
Okay.
next one, please.
These beliefs and opinions regarding the dead and the departure of the spirits of the dead served to make sure in the minds of all who were now present at Lazarus's tomb and subsequently to all who might hear of what was about to occur, that this was really and truly a case of the raising of the dead by the personal working of one who declared he was the resurrection and the life.
So this one of the reasons Jesus waited to the fourth day was because of the beliefs of the time. So they, but because of the beliefs of the time, they believed that by the fourth day he was definitely gone, right? He was dead. All right. To the resurrection of Lazarus. So Gary, would you take this one?
Yep. To resurrection of Lazarus. As this company of some 45 mortals stood before the tomb, they could dimly see the form of Lazarus, wrapped in linen bandages, resting on the right lower niche of the burial cave. While these earth creatures stood there in almost breathless silence, a vast host of celestial beings had swung into their places preparatory to answering the signal for action when it should be given by Gabriel, their commander.
Okay, so did anybody see any of these celestial beings?
Nope.
No,
No.
right? They didn't see a thing because they were waiting. Number one, they were celestial beings, so they none of them would see anything at all. And so when all this happened, they were waiting for Gabriel's command to go ahead and revive him. So up to that point, nothing really happened, right? Other than the fact that they could see Lazarus laying on the shelf inside the tomb. All right. Now, the real thing. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I am thankful that you heard and granted my request. I know that you always hear me, but because of those who stand here with me, I thus speak to you, and that they may believe that you have sent me into the world, and that they may know that you are working with me and that which we are about to do." And when he had prayed, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." So this is when it actually happened. That's when all the celestial beings got busy, didn't they? And so, go on, dear.
Though these human observers remained motionless, the vast celestial host was all astir in unified action and obedience to the Creator's word. In just 12 seconds of earth time, the hitherto lifeless form of Lazarus began to move and presently sat up on the edge of the stone shelf whereon it had rested. His body was bound about with gray cloths, and his face was covered with a napkin. And as he stood up before them alive, Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." That would be scary.
Loose them and let him go. So he ordered them to take the cloths, unbound him from the cloths. All right. And here's a picture of such things. See Lazarus down here coming forth. At least that's their idea of it. Pam, would you take the next one?
All save the apostles with Martha and Mary fled to the house. They were pale with fright and overcome with astonishment. While some tarried, many hastened to their homes.
So it scared them to death, didn't it? Never seen
Including me.
anything like this. All right, Letch, would you take the next?
Lazarus greeted Jesus and the apostles and asked the meaning of the grave cloth and why he had wakened in the garden. Jesus and the apostles drew to one side while Martha told Lazarus of his death, burial, and resurrection. She had to explain to him that he had died on Sunday and was now brought back to life on a Thursday, inasmuch as he had no consciousness of time since falling asleep in death.
So, from the time he went to sleep, he thought he just went to sleep. He had no consciousness of anything, did he? All right. So, when he woke up, he was wondering, what am I doing in the garden? So, that's kind of interesting. Gary, would you take the next one?
As Lazarus came out of the tomb, the personalized adjuster of Jesus, now chief of his kind in this local universe, gave command to the former adjuster of Lazarus, now in waiting, to resume abode in the mind and soul of the resurrected man.
So Lazarus' thought adjuster was standing by watching all of this, right? And so the chief of the thought adjusters, which was Jesus's thought adjuster, told him to resume his position back in Lazarus. Okay. So during that period of time, he was not inside Lazarus any longer, right? It
Yeah,
was
but
just.
didn't he, Jesus say, told, I forgot who, to tell the thought adjuster to hang loose?
Yeah, Jesus's thought adjuster told him 15 minutes before he died that he should not depart the planet. But I'm sure as soon as he died, he left the body, right? So he'd been hanging out for 4 days outside the body. All right. Now, then went Lazarus over to Jesus and with his sisters, knelt at the master's feet to give thanks and offer praise to God. Jesus, taking Lazarus by the hand, lifted him up, saying, "My son, what has happened to you will also be experienced by all those who believe in this gospel, except that they shall be resurrected in a more glorious form." This would be on the mansion worlds, right? You shall be a living witness to the truth which I spoke. I am the resurrection of the and the life. But let us now go into the house and partake of nourishment for these physical bodies. So the whole point is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and it's because of Jesus that we are resurrected. Okay? That's the whole point of this. All
Now, is
right.
that Is it because of Jesus? It's not because of Jesus's death.
No.
It's because of Jesus's, Jesus didn't die on the cross for that.
Right. No. It's
And what
because of
I'm
his.
concerned about, what are these pre people that died pre-Jesus? They're still going to go to heaven.
Yes, but they are considered the sleeping survivors. Remember when Jesus walked out of the tomb? What's the first thing he did? He said he called had a resurrection of his sleeping children, he said, right? So that was a epical resurrection right above the tomb. So all those who had slept up to that point were resurrected on the mansion worlds.
I wonder if that's just for this world or for the universe as a whole.
Probably the universe as a whole. because they have millennial resurrections. About every 1,000 years, there's a resurrection, okay, of the sleeping souls. And that way, there's not so many that it gets out of hand for them to handle in the mansion worlds, right?
So what you're saying is when he came, when he gave the command, the last 1,000 or in the last 1,000 years, those that have died, that were on hold because of their lack of belief,
Because
were.
they had not mentioned third and reached the third psychic circle, right? All right. Who's up next? Letch, did you just read? Okay, Gary, would you take the next one?
Okay. Excuse me a second. As they walked toward the house, Gabriel dismissed the extra groups of the assembled heavenly host, while he made record of the first instance of Urantia and the last, where a mortal creature had been resurrected in the likeness of the physical body of death.
Now, this is very important. It says he was the first mortal on our planet to be resurrected and the last. So, no other person has been resurrected in their physical body. So, what does that mean? I want to make sure this is clear. If you die and they bring you back to life, this is not the same thing, is it? Okay, so if you die and they shock you and bring you back to life, it's not a resurrection. You understand that? In other words, it was never meant that you were ready, you were supposed to go at that particular time.
Because God knows what's the future.
That's right.
So he knew he was going to be zapped.
Exactly. That's why it says here, where the unres and the last, where a mortal creature had been resurrected in the like a physical body of death, right? So no other person has been brought back to life as a resurrection.
You know, that is kind of significant.
Yes, it is.
And I'll tell you why, the way I'm looking at it. This came to Earth in 1935.
Right.
They weren't zapping bodies in 1935.
No.
So they already knew ahead of time that people were going to be zapped.
Oh yeah. They also knew that there was going to be a whole country that started letting people commit suicide, mass suicide, right? Canada.
Well,
Okay. So they knew that was going to happen in the future too. So they're very careful about how they word things throughout this book. It really is. All right. Lazarus could hardly comprehend what had occurred. He knew he had been very sick, but he could recall only that he had fallen asleep and hadn't been awakened. He was never able to tell anything about these 4 days in the tomb because he was wholly unconscious. Time is non-existent to those who sleep the sleep of death. So, what does that mean to us? So, when you die personally, when you awaken on the mansion worlds, it's going to be just as if you just went to sleep and was woken back up. Okay. So when you wake up on the mansion worlds, your first thought might be, let me sleep a little bit longer.
Here's the snooze.
It's just a snooze. All right. Damn.
Though many believed in Jesus as a result of this mighty work, others only hardened their hearts and the more to reject him. By noon the next day, this story had spread over all Jerusalem. Scores of men and women went to Bethany to look upon Lazarus and talk with him, and the alarmed and disconcerted Pharisees hastily called a meeting of the Sanhedrin that they might determine what should be done about these new developments.
Okay, I want to make something very clear here. When these people went to see Lazarus, everybody had the same question, didn't they? What was it like? What happened when you were dead, right? And Lazarus had no recollection of anything, did he? So it was kind of a moot point that these people were asking these things that Lazarus had no possible way of telling about, right?
I
So,
can't blame him, though.
yeah,
I'd
everyone wants
ask
to
the
know what
same.
happens on the other side, right?
Yes.
That's
Yeah.
what it's about. All right. Like, Pam, would you take the next one?
Though many believed in Jesus as a result of this mighty work, others only hardened their hearts the more to reject him. By noon the next day, this story had spread over all Jerusalem. Scores of men and women went to Bethany to look upon Lazarus and talk with him. And the alarmed and
Disconcerted.
disconcerted Pharisees hastily called a meeting of the Sanhedrin that they might determine what should be done about these new developments. You can imagine, I mean, if they thought that he really did,
Right.
resurrect a
And
man.
I think Diane just read that one, but let me,
You think that?
she did. So, Pam, you're up again.
That was nice this one. Three, meeting
Very
the
nice.
Sanhedrin. Even though the testimony of this man raised from the dead did much to consolidate the faith of the mass of believers in the gospel of the kingdom, it had little or no influence on the attitude of the religious leaders and rulers at Jerusalem, except to hasten their decision to destroy Jesus and stop his work.
So since they couldn't do anything about it, their answer was to kill Jesus, right? Because they couldn't match this sort of thing.
Pretty extreme.
Yeah. Letch, would you take the next one?
Okay. At 1 o'clock the next day, Friday, the Sanhedrin met to deliberate further on the question, what shall we do with Jesus of Nazareth? After more than 2 hours of discussion and acrimonious debate, a certain Pharisee presented a resolution calling for Jesus's immediate death, proclaiming that he was a menace to all Israel, and formally committing the Sanhedrin to the decision of death without trial and in defiance of all precedent.
So the only thing they need to do is to put him to death, right?
Right.
Basically. All right, Gary, you get a big one this time.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. Time and again had this august body of Jewish leaders decreed that Jesus be apprehended and brought to trial on charges of blasphemy and numerous other accusations of flaunting the Jewish sacred law. They had once before even gone so far as to declare he should die. But this was the first time the Sanhedrin had gone on record as desiring to decree his death in the advance of a trial. But this resolution did not come to a vote, since 14 members of the Sanhedrin resigned in a body when such an unheard-of action was proposed. While these resignations were not formally acted upon for almost 2 weeks, this group of 14 withdrew from the Sanhedrin on that day, never again to sit in the council. When these resignations were subsequently acted upon, five other members were thrown out because their associates believed they entertained friendly feelings toward Jesus. Joe 19 bit the dust. With the ejection of these 19 men, the Sanhedrin was in a position to try and to condemn Jesus with a solidarity bordering on
Unanimity.
yeah, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Unanimity.
So they cleaned out the Sanhedrin of anybody that was sympathetic to Jesus or believed in Jesus. So they had no problem, passing something that would kill Jesus, in other words, right? The following week, Lazarus and his sisters were summoned to appear before the Sanhedrin. When their testimony had been heard, no doubt could be entertained that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. So it was obvious, right? Though the transactions of the Sanhedrin virtually admitted to the resurrection of Lazarus, the record carried a resolution attributing this and all other wonders worked by Jesus to the power of the prince of devils, with whom Jesus had declared to be in league. In other words, they couldn't explain it, so they had decided he must be a prince of the devil. All right, done.
I wondered just if Jesus had came down, would come down to earth in a visible form and stand on the square at the Vatican, where people go, what would be the reception?
It'd be hard to
The
say.
declaring the Matic or what?
Well, it would be just like, it was during his time. Half of the people would believe it was him, and the other half would not, right? Basically. Even if they saw him appear out of nothingness, you know what I'm saying? And it's interesting because it says when Jesus returns, every eye shall see and every eye shall hear of his return. And that would not be impossible in this day and age, would it? Because you could be on TV, on the internet, everywhere that there's video, people would be able to see Jesus come.
I don't think Jesus needs all that. He can do it on his own.
He could make it appear right in front of every single human being, man, mechanical, physical controllers.
Whose turn?
No matter what the source of his wonder-working power, these Jewish leaders were persuaded that if he were not immediately stopped, very soon all the common people would believe in him. And further, that serious complications with the Roman authorities would arise since so many of his believers regarded him as the Messiah, Israel's deliverer.
And that's what they were really afraid of, isn't it? Okay. Pam, would you take the next one?
It was at this t same meeting of the Sanhedrin that
Caiaphas.
Caiaphas, the high priest, first gave expression to that old Jewish adage, which he so many times repeated. It is better that one man die than that the community perish.
So they thought it was better for him to die than break up the Jewish faith, right? Lech, would you take the next one?
Although Jesus had received warning of the doings of the Sanhedrin on this dark Friday afternoon, he was not in the least perturbed and continued resting over the Sabbath with friends in Bethpage, a hamlet near Bethany. Early Sunday morning, Jesus and the apostles assembled by prearrangement at the home of Lazarus, and taking leave of the Bethany family, they started on their journey back to the Pella encampment.
Okay, so he met with them, and then they left, or he left. Gary, would you take the next?
Poor, the answer of prayer. On the way from Bethany to Pella, the apostles asked Jesus many questions, all of which the master freely answered, except those involving the details of the resurrection of the dead. Such problems were beyond the comprehension capacity of his apostles. Therefore, did the master decline to discuss these questions with them. Since they had departed from Bethany in secret, they were alone. Jesus therefore embraced the opportunity to say many things to the ten, while he thought would prepare them for the trying days just ahead.
Okay, so he was limited in how much he could explain to them, but they didn't have any concept of being raised from the dead. All right. The apostles were much stirred up in their minds and spent considerable time discussing their recent experiences as they related to prayer and its answering. They all recalled Jesus' statement to the Bethany messenger at Philadelphia when he said plainly, "This sickness is not really to death." And yet, in spite of this promise, Lazarus actually died. All that day, again and again, they reverted to the discussion of this question and of the answer to prayer. Okay, now think of it this way. When Jesus said he would, this sickness was not really to death, what was Jesus saying?
That he was going to come back. He
He
wasn't
was,
dead.
yeah, he was going to come back, but that all of us go on. Death is not the end. We don't really die, do we? Only the human body dies, we go on. All
I
right.
think I know somebody that's not going to go on.
Well, you might. We talked about the walking dead walking around on the planet right now, right?
Well, this
People.
particular person doesn't believe in Jesus because of what's going on in Earth. So,
Yeah. Diane, you get a really long one, dear.
oh boy. Jesus'
take a deep
answers
breath.
to their many questions may be summarized as follows. I take it. Yeah. One, prayer is an expression of the finite mind in an effort to approach the infinite. The making of a prayer must therefore be limited by the knowledge, wisdom, and attributes of the finite. Likewise, must the answer be conditioned by the vision, aims, ideals, and provocatives of the infinite. There never can be observed an unbroken continuity of material phenomena between the making of a prayer and the reception of the full spiritual answer thereto.
What's that
Okay, I want
mean?
to take this opportunity with prayer to make a couple statements. First of all, prayer for things or material things related to ter material life are a local universe phenomena, right? All those prayers stay within the ro local universe and are either answered by the administration of Michael or Jesus, or the local universe Mother Spirit, one of the two. Okay, for all things that you pray for material. Things that they're talking about infinite that go to God the Father, that goes through your thought adjuster. That's not a local issue. That's a super universe issue. It goes directly to God the Father. And those things which are related to spiritual life and adaptation of God the Father or the Son, either one. Okay? So that's why I want to mention about prayer.
Can I ask a question? If
Yeah,
you
go
go
ahead.
back one.
Yeah. Give me just a second here. Yeah.
The phrase, there never can be observed an unbroken co continuity of material phenomena between the making of a prayer and reception of the full spiritual answer thereon. What do you mean? What's that mean?
It means no matter what you ask for in prayer doesn't end in the material world completely. It goes on all the way through the spiritual world, and your prayer may not be answered until you get to the level of being a spiritual being. So your prayer may not be answered in the local universe until you get all the way up to where you're a first stage spirit. Okay? May not be answered right away, in other words, right? Because no matter what you ask as a prayer, you will eventually get a answer. And what are those answers? Yes, no, and maybe, right?
Now, I'm going to argue with you a little bit, okay? Or you
Right.
can explain me how
May not
important.
be in your lifetime either.
May not be in your lifetime, may not be in your Marantia lifetime either.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me explain my reasoning.
Okay.
I came to this book, this where I'm at, because I was in church and I asked God to just tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. 3 months later, I realized I didn't have my answer, so I asked him again. And the minister said, turn to page so and so. I turned to page so and so, and in green neon flashing lights, the phrase says, seek ye the truth and ye shall find it. To me, that was a miracle.
Okay.
So, how's that fit with this sentence?
Well, that would be considered a answer to a median answer to a prayer. You can have an immediate answer to a prayer, but not, that's not necessarily what always happens.
I would think that was a rarity.
It's in this
This
life,
life,
it's a
it's
rarity for sure, you know. I guarantee you, if you pray to win the lottery, you think that's going to happen?
Nope.
Not going to happen. That's one of those no's, right? And I said yes, no, maybe. You know, the maybes are usually the ones that have to wait until you get spiritually mature enough to handle the answer. Okay. So if you want to be able to mature enough to handle your answers, you need to work on what? Your spirituality in this life and get to the third psychic circle. Right? Any way you look at it. All right.
I think you should define the third psychic circle for anybody that may
That's
be
when
scared.
you decide that you want to follow the will of God in your life, and that's when you decide that you want God's will to become your will, and that's when you're assigned your two guardian seraphim, and a sanabim and a cherubim for the rest of your life. Now, when you die, your sanabim and cherubim are released, but your seraphim, guardians of destiny, go with you to the mansion worlds. Okay? All right. Everybody got that? Y'all are so smart. Okay, let's see who's up next. I don't know. I think you are, Gary. No, you just read. I probably
I just
read.
read.
Oh, you just read?
Well, I read, and then he read. He talked, and
Let's read.
I
Well,
think it's
Gary.
my turn now. I'll
Huh?
go
Okay.
ahead. When a prayer is apparently unanswered, the delay often betokens a better answer, although one which is for some good reason greatly delayed. When Jesus said that Lazarus's sickness was really not to the death, he had already been dead 11 hours. No sincere prayer is denied an answer except when the superior viewpoint of the spiritual world has devised a better answer, an answer which meets the petition of the spirit of man as contrasted with the prayer of the mere mind of man.
Okay, so what was the better answer for Jesus? That we go on after death, wasn't it? Right? Any way you look at it. And that's what he meant when he said he was really not to death. All right, we just skipped over Pam. Pam, would you take the next one?
Okay, three, the prayers of time, when indicted by the Spirit and expressed in faith, are often so vast and all-encompassing that they can be answered only in eternity. The finite petition is sometimes so fraught with the grasp of the infinite that the answers must long be postponed to await the creation of adequate capacity for receptivity. The prayer of faith may be so all-embracing that the answer can be received only on paradise.
That's a long wait to get that answer.
What he's saying is you have to be spiritually ready for the answer.
That's exactly right. You have to be spiritually ready. Gary, would you take the next one?
The answers to the prayer of the mortal mind is often of such a nature that they can be received and recognized only after that same praying mind has attained the immortal state. The prayer of the material being can many times be answered only when such an individual has progressed to the spiritual level.
That's all the way through all the Marantia levels too, right? All right. The prayer of a God-knowing person may be so distorted by ignorance and so deformed by superstition that the answer thereto would be highly undesirable. Then must the interfering spirit being so translate such a prayer that the answer, when the answer arrives, the petitioner wholly fails to recognize it as the answer to his prayers. All right? So it's all about the mind, right? Diane.
Diane, unmute.
Start again. Six. All true prayers are addressed to spiritual beings, and all such petitions must be answered in spiritual terms, and all such answers must consist in spiritual realities. Spirit beings cannot bestow material answers to the spirit petitions of even material beings. Material beings can pray effectively only when they pray in the spirit.
Okay, so you can't physically receive answers to material requests, can you? You can only pray in spirit and get answers. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's why God is not Santa Claus.
That's all right. That's why God is not Santa Claus.
So
Pam,
do
would you
not
take the
send him
next one?
A Christmas card.
Yeah.
Well, what did it mean that pray in the spirit? That's exactly.
It means that all your prayers should be related to what you believe the spiritual life is about.
Oh, okay.
Really.
Makes sense.
In other words, we're expected to live in this mortal life just as if we were living in a spirit, total spiritual existence. Okay. So when you're not living in a spiritual existence, what you're living is a fantasy life. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, all these people that keep saying that this world is just a fancy computer simulation type thing. In reality, if you're living just a material world, you're kind of living in a fantasy reality, aren't you? Right?
Right.
But if you live in a spiritual life in your own life, then you're living in a real world. Okay? Makes a big difference. All right. Who are we up next? Pam, did you just read? Huh?
Seven. No prayer can hope for an answer unless it is born of the spirit and nurtured by faith. Your sincere faith implies that you have in advance virtually granted your prayer hearers the full right to answer your petition in accordance with that supreme wisdom and that divine love which your faith depicts as always actuating those beings to whom you pray.
Right. Let's come on. Let me go back up here for a second. Notice here it says that born of spirit and nurtured by faith. You have to have faith, all right, that your prayer will be answered and the hearers of your prayer have the full right to answer those petitions also. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go on. Letch, would you take the next?
Okay. The child is always within his rights when he presumes to petition the parent. And the parent is always within his parental obligations to the immature child when his superior wisdom dictates that the answer to the child's prayer be delayed modified, segregated, transcended, or postponed to another stage of spiritual ascension.
So who was our spiritual parents? That would be Michael or Jesus and the local universe Mother Spirit, right? Okay, he's our local universe father, and she's our local universe mother. And then God the Father is the first source and center, the God the Father of all. Okay. All right, Gary, would you take the next one?
Number 9, do not hesitate to pray the prayers of spirit longing. Doubt not that you shall receive the answer to your petitions. These answers will be on deposit, awaiting your achievement of those future spiritual levels to actual cosmic attainment. On this world or on others, thereon it will become possible for you to recognize and appreciate the long-awaiting answers to your earlier but ill-timed petitions.
So you might get your answer in this world. You might get your answer on many of the 570 worlds, as Marantia beings, or even when you become full spirit beings, right? 10, all genuine spirit board petitions are certain of an answer. Ask and you shall receive. But you should remember that you are progressive creatures of time and space. Therefore, must you constantly reckon with the time-space factor in the experience of your personal reception of the full answers to your manifold prayers and petitions. So they're going to wait till you're mature enough to understand the answers. Okay? Don't you?
5. What became of Lazarus? Lazarus remained at the Bethany home, being the center of great interest to many sincere believers and to the numerous curious individuals until the day of the crucifixion of Jesus, when he received warning that the Sanhedrin had decreed his death. The rulers of the Jews were determined to put a stop to the further spread of the teachings of Jesus, and they well judged that it would be useless to put Jesus to death if they permitted Lazarus, who represented the very peak of his wonder working, to live and bear testimony to the fact that Jesus had raised him from the dead. Already had Lazarus suffered bitter persecution from them.
So the Sanhedrin decreed Lazarus's death also, right after the crucifixion. So he had to take off, right? All right.
You know, I just thought of something.
Yeah.
Jesus has muted the devil. And you told me one time, and I asked if, you know, the devil has been muted. Why do we have this evil? And you mentioned that it was the evil within man.
Right.
And the Sanhedrin is acting like they have that evil.
Yeah, they do. That's a good observation, Gary, because that's exactly what they have.
Right. I cleaned my glasses so I could see it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Pam, you take the next one.
Until Lazarus took hasty leave of his sisters in Bethany, fleeing down through Jericho and across the Jordan, never permitting himself to rest long until he had reached Philadelphia. Lazarus knew Abner well, and here he felt safe from the murderous intrigues of the wicked Sanhedrin.
There it is, Gary, the wicked Sanhedrin, right? All right, so Lazarus took off. He ended up having to sell everything they owned there, and they all relocated to Philadelphia, all right? And this is the explanation of that. Let's, would you take the next one?
Soon after this, Martha and Mary disposed of their lands at Bethany and joined their brother in Perea. Meantime, Lazarus had become the treasurer of the Church of Philadelphia. He became a strong supporter of Abner in his controversy with Paul and the Jerusalem church, and ultimately died when 67 years old of the same sickness that carried him off when he was a younger man at Bethany.
Okay, so he eventually died of the same disease that he had when he was younger. But notice here, he became a supporter of Abner in Philadelphia, and he also supported Abner in his war with Paul on the theology of Jesus, right? So, okay. All right. So that ends this part of the paper on Lazarus. And next we'll go into paper 169, The Last Teachings of Pella. Let me stop the share and do the share, reset, share here. The prayer. All right. Who's up for the prayer, Pam?
Letch.
Letch, okay. Would you do the prayer tomorrow?
Prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father, and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By this same faith, I became a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universe of Nebedon, as Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God, to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
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 And thanks, everyone, for coming and seeing us, visiting with us tonight. And come see us next time. Make sure you go out there and share. And join us if you'd like to on YouTube. You know, subscribe. Hit the little bell or whatever it is you do. All right. And we will see everybody on Tuesday again, right?
Thank you.
Thank you, y'all, for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you Tuesday.
Sounds great. Love you all. Bye.
Love you guys.
Love you.